God has great joy for you. How is your joy factor today? That's the question. How's your joy factor? If you were to say there's a joy scale, and it's from 0 to 10, and 0 being miserable, discouraged, downhearted, and then 10 being you couldn't be any more joyful. You just think about it yourself today. How's your joy factor this morning? Because it's very important. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I believe we just sang about that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And joy is evidence of spiritual health. We know the fruits of the Spirit. When God's Holy Spirit is living in us and through us, those fruits are love, joy, peace, and they go on and on. There's 9 of them. And so it's an indicator of spiritual health, too. So it's important that we look at our joy factor this morning and see where we fall on that joy scale. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And we just heard some from this passage, but we're going to start in verse 8. I'll give you a second to turn there. Luke chapter 2. Let's pray before we look into it. Father, we do thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for your word. Oh, it is living. It is active. Lord, I thank you that we don't read a book. We don't read an old, dusty, ancient book, Lord, but that we have the living word of God, your words, Lord, that when we read, when we turn in its pages and we read, Lord, that you speak. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, please speak to us now, Lord. Move me out of the way that we may hear your voice. Lord Jesus, we need to hear from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me set the scene just a little bit here. If you can imagine, some 2,000 years ago and some shepherds out in a field at night, they're all watching over their flocks. Maybe they're all gathered together. It's their normal routine, just the daily or the nightly grind, I should say. Maybe they're all gathered around a campfire and the sheep are just in the background making their little noises, their baas. And maybe it's pretty silent with the exception of the shepherds talking to each other every now and then. Maybe they're joking with each other a little bit, laughing. You can hear the sticks crackling in the fire. And then God tells us this in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, God has great joy, as we just read about, for you. I notice a few things in here. He has great joy for you. So, here are some things that we can pull out of this text. I want to spell the word shepherd. And let's start with the S just to help you remember. Let's let the S stand for segregate no longer. Segregate no longer. The word segregate means separate or detach from others. Well, God has great joy for you, so let's segregate no longer. You know, God thinks highly of what you think lowly, oftentimes. Look at verses 8 and 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. These were shepherds. I don't know if you know about shepherds in that day, but they were lowly people. They were the lowest of the low. That wasn't a sought-after job to have. It was a low-type job. And yet, God chooses them to announce. This is the first announcement that God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us, born in the flesh, has been born. You know, when someone has a baby, what do we do today? I guess we get on the cell phone and just start calling people. Allison's younger brother, Brian, in Atlanta just had a baby, Andrew. And, of course, we got the word and through email and cell phone and all this, and they announced it. And when that happens, we announce it. And this, the greatest birth ever, the birth of Christ, God's Son, God in the flesh, and the first people that God goes to announce it are the lowest of the low, the lowly, the shepherds. I read this in a little Advent devotional I have this past week. It says, why do you suppose God revealed the birth of His Son to the shepherds first? Had it been up to us, we might have been inclined to send the announcement to the president of the Pharisees, the editor of the Jerusalem News, or perhaps the movers and shakers of Palestine. Maybe God selected the shepherds because they were the ones that most resembled His caring nature. And then skipping over a little bit, here's your assignment for today or tonight, whenever you choose to. But this is an assignment, so you better write it down. This is your assignment. Read Psalm 23. Read that famous passage. You may know it by heart, but do that today. That's your assignment, or tonight. Read Psalm 23 as a part of your prayer, as a part of prayer today. And pray each line of the psalm back to God, acknowledging His care for you. And then finally, make a commitment to Him in response to His shepherdly care for you. You know, it's a good thing to pray God's Word back to Him. You know, sometimes if you're ever stumped in prayer, you want to spend a little time with the Lord and you're trying to pray and you're just, I don't know what to pray about. Just grab God's Word and just open it somewhere and just start praying it to Him, praying back to Him. Lord, I thank You that You're the good shepherd. And you go on from there. You know, maybe another reason God chose these shepherds is they were humble. He chose some humble people, maybe not the president of the Pharisees. He was looking for humility because God's Word tells us God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God hates pride. If you want to upset God, just be proud of yourself. Just think, oh, I can handle life just fine. I'm doing okay. God hates pride. And He opposes it, but He gives grace to the humble. And then we read in James, God tells us more about the poor and says in the book of James that if somebody comes into your meeting, maybe it's a worship meeting like this, and they're wearing shabby clothes and they're poor, and God advises us in James, don't treat them any differently than somebody who comes into your service or your meeting or wherever you are in life. And a wealthy person comes in, and I think it mentions fine rings and all this, and don't make a seat for the wealthy person and talk to the wealthy person and go up and greet them and all that. And no, God says, treat the the poor one the exact same. Go and speak to him. Maybe speak to him first, or who knows? You treat him the same. I don't know who you'll speak to first. With God, there is no favoritism that comes with man, with sinful people. Well, and the question comes up for you and for me. Do you treat anyone differently in life? Do you ever segregate? Is there anybody in your life and you see a certain type of person or somebody a little different than you in some way? And do you ever treat them differently? Oh, that's not God's way. Show no favoritism. Remember this announcement. God has great joy for you, so segregate no longer. He took it to the shepherd. Secondly, God has great joy for you. Hallelujah is the H. Hallelujah is the H. God has a message of great joy for you. Look at verses 10 and 11. Incredible. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Today, that day, at that moment, a Savior has been born to you. You know, a lot of the people at that time, they were looking for a political Savior. Maybe someone would save them from Roman rule, or some were looking for different types of Saviors. But this was a Savior from the worst plague that every single one of us has, sin. Every human being has sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So we're in trouble. You've sinned, I've sinned. We have a sinful nature. It's in our nature. And the penalty for our sin, the slightest sin, displeasing God, one time the penalty is death and hell and separation from God for all eternity. We're in trouble. We need a Savior. You can't save yourself. Don't attempt to be good. God's Word tells us all over the place that it's not by our works of righteousness, but by His mercy. It says that in Titus. We can go over tons of passages that talk about how it's not by you. You'll never save yourself. You'll never be good enough. You can't be. You are sinful, according to God. But He's good enough. He's a Savior. He'll save you. If you turn to Him, call out to Him, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Thank you for what you did for me. You'll save me." Praise the Lord. Thank you. Not by anything you did, not by our works of righteousness, but by His mercy. So, a Savior has been born to you, a Savior from sin and death. Sin and its penalty, death and hell. And a Savior from the plague of sin on our lives. Without Christ, we have no ability to obey God. And we can obey God. We can be set free from sin and its penalty through Christ. You know, it's like somebody drowning in an ocean. If you imagine somebody drowning and a ship coming up and somebody, there's absolutely nothing that person that's drowning can do. But then somebody pulls up in a ship and they throw out a life preserver to them and the life preserver lands right in front of that person. Well, they have a choice to make. They can either grab hold of that life preserver, and that person in that boat, that's a Savior. And that life preserver, that's a Savior. And they have a choice. They can grab hold of it, and they'll be saved. They'll come up on the boat. They'll have life. But then on the other hand, they could always be kind of ridiculous, but they could always, people do it all the time. They could always choose to say, "Oh, you know what? I don't even believe in that life preserver. I don't even believe it's here. I'm not grabbing it. I think there's plenty of ways I could be saved and get into that boat. I'm not going to take that life preserver. Something else will come along." And what happens? They drown and they die. And that's God and that's Jesus Christ. God's the one in the boat and Jesus Christ is that life preserver. Wow, praise God. Today a Savior has been born to you, a rescuer, and He is Christ the Lord. The word Christ means the anointed one, and that's in the Greek is Christ. In the Hebrew, it's Messiah, the same word, the anointed one. Christ the Lord, or the Messiah, the Lord. What good news. Well, the question for you this morning is, it's here for you. The life preserver is right in front of you. That good news is for all people. It's for you today. The question is, have you received it? Is it your good news? Have you taken it? Have you grabbed the life preserver? Oh, if not, don't leave here without it. We'll pray at the end. You pray. And if you haven't prayed about that before you leave here, and you're not sure what'll happen, if you get in a car accident when you leave this place, then you come and talk to me or any of the strong believers around this place. Many people would love to talk to you. Well, let's let the E represent end your doubt. End your doubt. God has great joy for you, so end your doubt. God will give you a sign when you need it. God will give you a sign when you need it. In verse 12, it says that this will be, the angel said to them, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Well, you know, it's interesting because if he's not given it, if he's not giving you a sign about something that you're praying about or whatever, then you don't need it. That's a good thing. If he's not giving it, then you don't need it. They needed it. They needed a sign. They needed to know how they would know when this Christ child was there. God knows in his sovereignty what they need and what you need. And you know, sometimes you do need a sign. Sometimes a sign provides confirmation. God's leading you in a certain direction, and it's okay. Sometimes you pray that you might have a sign. Sometimes you pray, you're not sure about a certain decision. You just say, God, would you just show, would you make it clear to me? Would you give me a sign? Would you confirm it to me? And he'll do that if you need it, if that's what you need. There's different things that I've noticed in my own life, different little signs sometimes that God gives me. And I'll share one of them with you. When I was in New Orleans in seminary, I used to do some ministry in the French Quarter there in New Orleans. And a pastor of one of the church in the French Quarter, Vucaray Baptist Church, he gave me these tracts, and it had a smiley face on the front of it. And it said, smile, Jesus loves you. And ever since that time, when I see a smiley face, I believe that's a sign to me. It's just between me and the Lord, but I believe that he's telling me when I see a smiley face, smile, Derek, I love you. And you know, it's funny because the reason I believe it's a sign is so many times when I've been in the midst of something or prayed about something or I've stepped out on faith and maybe done something with the Lord, so many times there'll be a big smiley face I'll see somewhere. And I'll just say, oh, thank you, Lord. It might be different for you, but if you need it, he'll give a sign. But you know what? It's better not to need it. It's better not to need a sign. You know why? Because if you don't need a sign, that means you have great faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the opposite is true. With great faith, you please God. So you're better off not needing a sign. You're better off just praying about something and say, oh, thank you, Lord. I trust you. Go ahead. Take care of it. Because then you show great faith and he's so pleased with your great faith. It's just like the man that needed someone healed in his household, and he found Jesus on the road far away from his house. And he said, would you come and heal? I believe it was his servant. Would you come and heal my servant back home, Jesus? And Jesus started to head that way, to go to the house to heal this man's servant. And, you know, actually the man said, oh, Lord, no need to go there. Only say a word and he'll be healed. And Jesus said, I have not seen faith like this in all Israel, something to that effect. And Jesus commended this man's faith, because most people would want Jesus to go all the way there, put his hands on him, and say an incredible prayer, do all these things. But this man from a long distance, he just said, oh, Jesus, just say a word. He'll be healed. It's great faith. It pleases God. You know, Thomas in John 20:25, the disciples were, after Jesus was raised from the dead, the disciples were telling Thomas, oh, we've seen him. He's alive. He's raised from the dead. And Thomas, one of the disciples, said, oh, he said, I just won't believe it unless I stick my finger in the holes in the nail holes where his on his hands and feet, unless I stick my hand in his side where that pierce was. Only then will I believe. Well, Jesus appears to him then, and Jesus goes up to Thomas and says, put your fingers in the holes in my hands. He said, stick your hand in my side. And then, of course, Thomas did that, and then he said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said, stop doubting and believe. And you know, then Jesus said an awesome thing. He said, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and believed. If you don't need to see him, the greater your faith, the more you please God. You know, it's just like Allison used to make me a lunch sometimes before work. And you know, I used to walk out the door, and sometimes I'd be on my way out, and I'd say, Allison, what's in my lunchbox? And maybe she'd say, a turkey sandwich and some Doritos and a so-and-so, you know. Now, what would it have been like if I walked out, she told me everything that was in there, I walked out the door, and then I looked behind, and I opened up that lunchbox and just made sure that was what was in there. What if she saw me out the window and she saw me? Don't you think she'd come out there and she'd be like, what are you doing? I just told you what was in there. You see how that lack of faith would displease? You see how your lack of faith with your Heavenly Father when he just tells you something and you got to check it? Oh, Lord, there's not enough evidence. Oh, I don't know if I can believe all that. Oh, I'm kind of skeptical. Well, God has great joy for you. So let's let the next P represent. Praise him. Praise him. And one last comment about the doubts. And that is, you know, if you want to doubt, if you've just got to doubt something, doubt your doubts and trust your faith. But to that next P, praise him. God has great joy for you. Praise him. God's message is something to praise about. In verse 14, this heavenly host comes. And what do? They just praise God. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. And they're praising God. And they say, peace, peace on earth. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. Well, God loves everybody. His favor is for everybody. But those who receive it, those who trust Christ, the favor rests on them. Those who repent of their sins and trust Christ. Well, we need to praise him, and we need to praise him continually. We just recently talked about this at Walmart. Are you praising him continually? And there's my question for you. We had a message about praising God at Walmart and Highland Avenue, and the question is, have you praised him yet when you were having a bad day? We talked about that, didn't we? Have you left and have you obeyed the word of God? Have you been having a terrible time and then you just started praising him? You need to do it if you haven't done it yet. Don't be a hearer of the word, be a doer. Well, let's come to the H. The H represents hurry and obey. Hurry and obey. God has great joy for you, so hurry and obey. God desires our quick obedience. You know, notice that after the angel spoke to these shepherds, they didn't sit around there saying, well, you know, this is great. You know, let's go to Bethlehem and see this great thing that has occurred. But let's have a meeting about it first. Let's say a prayer about it and see if we want to go over there. And then let's sleep on it tonight and let's meet in the morning and we'll talk about it. And you didn't hear that delay, or you didn't hear them calling a committee meeting, or you didn't hear them saying that, well, you know, first, you know, this is incredible. I'm going to go check this out. I got to, you know, see this thing in Bethlehem. But first, I need to go home and I need to take care of this thing. Then I'll head over there. And there's none of that, is there? There's none of that. God desires our quick obedience. And so they left. And it said that they hurried there. And they found things just as he said. You know, when God speaks, it's always just as he says. It's always exactly like he says. You know, this quick obedience like this, it's also found in the book of Acts. If you remember when Philip was walking with the Lord and, with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was guiding him, and the Spirit said to him, "Go over to that chariot." It was the Ethiopian eunuch was coming by. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to that chariot." And if you read the text carefully, it says that Philip ran to the chariot. And God, the Holy Spirit, who is God, he didn't say, "Run over to that chariot." If you read the text, God just said, "Go over to that chariot." But you see, Philip would hurry and obey the Lord. It says he ran to the chariot. Do you run to obey God? When God speaks, when you know his will, when you've heard his voice, when you've read something in the scripture, do you run to obey? Do you hurry and obey? Well, we need to. Let's let the next E represent evangelize. God has great joy for you, so evangelize. God wants you to share what you have seen and heard. We just talked about that this past Wednesday. He wants you to share what you have seen and heard so that others can be amazed. If you look at verses 17 and 18, it says, "When they had seen him," that is the Christ child, "they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." They spread the word. The word of God. They spread the word. Those who heard it were amazed. Excuse me, the word of God is powerful. The word, as we recently talked about on a Sunday night in John chapter 1, the word became flesh. The word is Jesus Christ. And the word is powerful. If you just lift up the word, if you just speak the word of God to people, God will do the work. We're told in the scripture, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up," and who is he? He's the Word of God made flesh. He said, "If I be lifted up," or so, "if the Word be lifted up, he be lifted up. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." You don't have to know a whole lot. If you're just with somebody and you've seen what God's been doing in your life and you've seen and heard what God's doing and you just share his word and you just lift up his name, God will work on the people. God will make the people amazed. And, you know, that is all that people need. You know, the rich man, Jesus told a story of a rich man that was in hell and a poor man that had begging at his gate was in heaven named Lazarus. Anyway, after a conversation, the rich man said to Abraham, who was in heaven, he said, "Oh, would you please just go warn my brothers about this place? My tongue is on fire. I'm in this place of torment." And he was in hell. And Abraham, he said, "You know, if somebody comes back from the dead and goes and tells my brothers, then they'll believe." And Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets." What was that back then? That's the Bible. It's the Word of God. They have the Word of God, in other words. They have Moses and the prophets. If they do not believe because of Moses and the prophets, they will not believe if somebody comes back from the dead. In other words, God was telling us the Word of God is all that is needed. You don't have to have some convincing proofs or some evidence or anything. If they don't believe when they hear the Word of God, they're not going to believe. Somebody could come back from the dead and talk to them. They're not going to believe. The Word of God is all that is needed. It is the most powerful witness. It is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. So, what does that mean for you and me? Saturate yourself in it. Oh, soak it up every day, many times a day. Soak it up. Live it. Let it just be all over you and all in you so it's coming out of your mouth when you talk to people. You know, if Jesus is on your mind, he's going to come out of your mouth. And you will evangelize. Now, let's let the next R represent reflect. We're almost done. Reflect. There's this awesome verse right there with Mary. God wants you to treasure and ponder his word. This just kind of seems like it's just thrown in there, this verse 19. "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." All this is going on around her, all these people around, this Christ child being born, the shepherd's word. It sounds like there's a lot of busyness going on there, but somehow in her own heart, in her own mind, in her own spirit, she just kind of gets away. I don't think she was actually in a lonely place, but she's right there But in her spirit, she's just kind of on her own, in her own world. And it says that she treasured up all these things in her heart. She pondered these things. And you know, when I think about ponder, I think about meditate. We need to meditate on the Word of God. And if you imagine a cow chewing the cud, that's a good picture of meditating. Cow just takes that grass or whatever it is they're eating. They just, some of y'all seen them. I haven't seen them. I didn't grow up in that kind of place. But, you know, they just go around and around and around. That's what we need to do with God's Word. In our mind, when we get saturated with it, we soak it up, we get it in our mind, memorize Scripture, and just throughout the day, just be chewing on that, going over and over. That's what Mary was doing. All this season in your life today, this Christmas season, can be very busy. And during this season, with all of this life going on around you, the question is, do you get away? Do you be still and ponder and treasure these things? You need to. Let that stop sign remind you. Ask somebody what that means if you don't know. Delight in Him is the D. Delight in Him is the final D. God enjoys your praise when you've seen Him work. In verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They returned. They went back to the grind. They went back to the routine, their normal daily lives, the place that they left, but they were different. They were praising God now. They were glorifying God. They were delighting in Him. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Well, when you've seen Him and heard Him work in your life, or in a message, or whatever, when He touches you, delight yourself in Him. Be praising Him. And you notice that... I'm going to close with that. And so, as you leave here today, as we leave together, join Him. Look at where God is working around you. That's a experiencing God principle, this great study. But join Him. Look where God is working around you. And join Him there. Join Him in what He's doing in your life and in the lives of people around you. Join Him and enjoy Him, because He has great joy for you. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the joy that You give us, Lord, just simply by our faith in You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, in the midst of this busy season, Lord, to stop and to praise You, Lord. And we thank You for this time together and ask that we leave here and do the things that You've told us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.